What? There's 10 or 12 people that want to hear from me?
Absolutely. There's actually probably more, but
you know. That's crazy. That's crazy.
So, everybody on the call is local and has seen the news the last couple of days, but before we get started with the Q&A portion, and just so you know, Jason, I am recording this Zoom for a handful of folks to be able to go back and transcribe or whatever they need to do. But I just wanted to give you a chance to maybe make some opening comments about your first week with back at Real Salt Lake for second stint.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first and most important thing for me to convey is just how happy and excited I am. I'm obviously extremely happy about the prospect of coming back to the place that I call home. Extremely excited. That's a community piece. Extremely excited to be coming back to the soccer club that I feel like is in my heart. It you know, looking back at my career, it played the biggest piece in everything for me in the game. So extremely happy to be coming back with the club, and extremely excited about the opportunity, and what I can hopefully, do for the club and for the community. So, yeah, it feels very similar to when I retired, as a player and walked right off the playing field and into the coaching world, because now it's similar. I'm walking right off the coaching field, so to speak, and into a front office role. So, it's a great time to be Jason Kreis. I'm super excited, not sleeping much at night, but all that stuff's good. So,
before we get to questions, Jason, how about in your own words, maybe describe the role that has been discussed between you and John Kimball in support of Kurt Schmidt and Pablo Mastroeni, and maybe share whatever insights you can about your discussions with Ryan Smith and the Blitzer group that brought you here.
Jeez, I'm gonna. Everybody got 30 minutes to listen. No, it's the role. The role is kind of all encompassing is not the right word, but from a perspective of me, the role involves business stuff as well as soccer stuff. And so I'm going to be learning a ton of stuff on the business side. And then I'm going to be hopefully adding a ton of experience on the soccer side. That's the best way to kind of summarize it. In particular on the soccer side, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, you know, getting involved with the academy and hoping to set a very clear methodology, a very clear pathway, a very clear alignment between the academy and the second team and the first team. In particular, they're also getting involved with the coaches, all of the coaches in the academy and the second team and the first team. I hope to be somebody that can be a bit of a mentor to younger coaches and also a bit more of just a sounding board for Pablo, to help him to sort of disseminate how he sees the game amongst his staff, his team, give him some different ideas about how to communicate those things, as well as disseminate that information down into the second team, into the first team. From a team building perspective, as far as, you know, working with Kurt and Tony, I'm just going to be another voice in the room to help collaborate on all of those decisions. And then, you know, that's pretty much the soccer side. Also, you know, obviously working with all of the staffing decisions as we move forward, because everybody knows we've got some of those on our plate right now. And then the business side is, hey, you know, and I've been very clear about this, through all of my experiences in the game, I haven't had a whole ton of the actual business stuff about running a cap, understanding what a budget looks like, sponsorships, ticketing, all those sorts of things. So that's the area where I'm just looking to guys like John Kimball and Kurt to hopefully lend me some of their thoughts and be mentors for me in that world.
Awesome. Thank you. Jeff, let's go out to you since you were first on the call today, and then we'll go to Alex Vahar after that.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Jason, good to see you. I thought you did all that stuff when you were a first head coach. You did all the signings.
And... Well, good on you that you
would
remember.
You did bring some good players from Argentina at one point.
That was about 100 years back, and for, I think, a period of from April until August, we didn't really have a general manager, although I would say that John Ellinger was around still and helping me in some of those decisions. But in the very first few weeks in the transition period, first few weeks to maybe a month and a half, yeah, I had to go down, you know, to Argentina to find players and to negotiate contracts and to do trades. My first trade, I think, was about a week and a half after I took the job. And so, yeah, I do have some of those experiences. I guess I probably got that a little wrong.
Well, I want to ask you about coming back here. You mentioned you're excited. I mean, your first player, a coach, led him to an MLS Cup. Was this a move you anticipated or really wanted even before the position was opened or offered?
The move was very much wanted. That is absolutely correct. I have been thinking about making this transition for probably a year and a half now. And so in my mind, as I was thinking about making this transition, I was thinking where would be the absolute best spot for me to do this at? And it was Real Salt Lake. Because now you get to add in this emotional piece, right? And I'm an emotional guy. So for me to have like career objectives, but to be able to include this emotional piece meant that Real Salt Lake was the absolute best spot for it. Now anticipation, no, because it was difficult for me to understand whether this any sort of opportunity would be there. Because as I've already identified, like it's not clear, right? It's not clear Jason Kreis for X position because I don't have the experience in this side of the game yet. So it's really about who would be flexible enough to be able to offer me a position that wasn't maybe so rigid. You know what I mean? It's not general manager or technical director, right? So RSL, I think to their credit and to the ownership's credit, has been willing to say, you know what, you're a good fit for us from a culture perspective and from your experiences perspective, but maybe not an exact right fit for exactly what we're looking for, but it doesn't matter. We just want to get you in the door.
Another thing for me real quick is, when you hear your name coming back, people think, oh, he's going to be the head coach. That's not the case. What have your discussions been like with Pablo about your roles and how you two are going to work together?
Yeah, as I looked at the perspective, a couple things here. Number one, I think it's important to say that when I was out here for my son's parents' weekend at University of Utah, I made it a point to come and talk to Pablo. And my desire to talk to Pablo was just to initially plant the seed that, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about getting out of coaching. And I'm thinking about going to Real Salt Lake and pitching this idea of what I would like to do. And so I want you to know from a very early standpoint, before I even do any of that, I want you to know that this is my intention. And what do you think about that? And Pablo was like, I love the idea. I think it would be really great for me. I think it would be really great for the club. And so there's that early communication before anything else happened that I think put us in a really solid place. And then I would tell you that it was intentional part of my plan and thinking was that I needed to then follow that up once I got here to sit with Pablo and say very clearly, let's just lay our cards on the table. And from my card to you that I'm laying on the table is that I have no interest in your job. Absolutely none. I'm done with that portion of my world. Right. And I have a ton of appreciation for what you're doing. So there's this, what you have from me is total clarity that I don't want your job and also total clarity that I want to support you 1000% to bring you to the best possible place for you to utilize your strengths. So I would say, I think we've covered all the bases there and feel very safe to say that we have a very clear understanding already.
Alex.
Sorry, thanks. Jason, Alex Vahar with the Salt Lake Tribune. Good morning. It's still the morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
So over the years, there have been various positions open at RSL, because of moves, either a coaching position was open and a GM position was open. And it seemed like your name was kind of like in those kind of like in the ether for a lot of those over the years. And obviously now you're here in this kind of hybrid role that you've been talking about. I'm curious, like over the years, how kind of close were you to one of those other jobs that was open? And like, why do you feel like this hybrid role is better than something that maybe you could have had in the past that would have, like you said, gotten you in the door to a place where you feel is home?
Well, you speak to a coaching role and a GM role in the past, right? In particular, for being specific, right? Yeah. So what I would say is I feel that at those moments, I would have, if you'd asked me at those moments, is this the best role for you that you're going for and that you're considering and they're considering you? And I would have said, yes, absolutely. Right. But things change and life happens over time. And I would say that now, right, in this position that I am, I think that this is the absolute best role for me that's possible. And in particular, I would say that this role allows me to come in and learn, right? And that's different. That's very different than when I took the head coaching position. If you know what I mean, like, so think relatively from my chair when I went from professional soccer player to professional head coach in a day. Okay. And now the truth is that I'm not the finished product that I need. There's so many things that I need to learn as a coach, but yet I have this expectation to win right away. Now, thankfully for me, I had an owner that understood that and didn't put any of that pressure at all. I mean, in fact, he was very much like, we're in this together. I don't expect you to win right away, but at some point I'm going to. And so if I was to think about, right now coming into this role and saying, you're the guy in charge, let's forget about the title, but you're the guy in charge of all things soccer, I would say, wow, here we are again, where I need to learn a bunch of stuff, but yet I'm expected to be the finished product. And so I think that that's what makes this role in particular ideal for me, because I feel like I can contribute in all these areas that I can contribute in and feel really comfortable about that. And then I can learn in all these areas that I don't, and there's no great expectation upon me right now.
And so obviously your name is going to be very resonant with the fan base here. I'm curious, what can you say to the RSL fans about your coming back, your role, and what they can expect as a fan base with you in the front office, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, I think the one area that I would not make promises about, but the one area that I would say to the fans that I'm going to be very, very focused on is establishing again a clear identity of who we are at Real Salt Lake. And I'm very, very interested in and want to that identity to not just be about the staff members that are in this building in Harriman or the staff members that are in the stadium in Sandy or the players that are here. I want it to involve the entire community. So I want this identity that we establish to be a clear reflection of our fans and the people that support us. So I'm going to be trying to learn again what that looks like, because 10 years ago, I would have told you, right, wrong, or indifferent, that I had a very clear thought about our identity and that I thought that that identity represented a lot of the community here in the area. So that's an area that I'm really focused on and really passionate about is establishing reestablishing, because the fact is, I know it's continued, reestablishing a really clear identity for what Real Salt Lake is and who we are.
Any initial ideas for that?
Not yet, no.
Let's go to Chandler Holt with KSL Sports.
Hey, Jason, I just have a question about the soccer side. RSL made a lot of moves last year, and they also have a lot of young players on the roster. I just want to know sort of what you think about the future of Real Salt Lake and if the players on the team sort of had any impact on you making the decision to return.
First question. Well, I'm going to take the second question first. The
Okay.
players in the group had no influence upon my decision. In fact, if the team was, ended up the worst place team in the league this year, that would have had no impact upon my decision, because I see the decision as a moving forward decision, as what is the impact that I can have going forward. So it wasn't like I was like picking out, well, they're not a good enough team. That has nothing to do with it from my perspective. That's more viewing things from like a coaching perspective. Now I'll answer the first part. Second, the young players in this team, I think, are very exciting. I think the players that have been brought in here, that have a big future at this club and have a big future in the game, they're all very exciting. And then past that, when I look down at the academy players, I went to see those guys play last week. There's some incredibly talented and high potential players there as well. So when you think more about that side of things, then you'd say, yeah, this is a great opportunity, right, to get in there and work with the entire club to understand and develop a clear philosophy about how we're going to develop these players and how we're going to move into the worldwide market, which we need to, is to sell the players. So that's all exciting.
Awesome, thank you.
Joseph?
Hey Jason, I wanted to ask first of all about the academy and the transitions from the academy to the first team. We've seen a couple of recent success stories in terms of that transition with David Ochoa, Gavin Beavers, and Bodie Hidalgo being a couple who have come directly from the academy into the first team. But they're more the exception than the rule. In terms of those future prospects that you've seen, and kids like Axel Kay or Xavier Goso, who made debuts this year, what is the plan or ideal for them going forward and integrating into the first team?
Yeah, so it's interesting that you mentioned the players that have played and have been big contributors. And I would say my immediate thought when you were saying that was actually we have a ton, not a ton, there's a specific number that's less than a ton. But we have quite a few guys that are on homegrown contracts, in and around and have first team contracts and we have second team contracts. So there's a lot of players that are here and are ready to be brought along, which isn't to say that all of them will be brought along. We need to remember that this is not a zero sum game. This isn't like every player that comes from our academy is going to be a top professional. No, that's not that way at all. But we need to, as a club, be thinking about how we give, not give, I'm not going to say to take that back, but how we provide a pathway for these players to have the best possible opportunity to earn their position, to earn their minutes with Pablo. And that's the piece of it that I think a lot of people don't think about, because they think, well, you have this bright young player. He needs to be given minutes and he needs to be given a chance because ultimately we all would agree that playing in the games is where you is a big piece of your development. And that's where you start to get onto the global market. There's no way to get into the global market unless you're actually showing a capability to play within the first team. But you get there, you get those minutes, you get that experience by earning it. And you earn it by getting in the training sessions with the first team and showing that you deserve to be there. You get those minutes in the training sessions with the first team by showing that you're an elite player at the Monarchs level, week in and week out. You get that opportunity because you've trained really well with the Monarchs, right? And you get that opportunity because you were a top player in under 17 team. So it needs to be laid out a very, very clear process for how players will earn opportunities to play in the first team.
And then, in terms of your relationship with Tony Beltran and the GM side of things, you talked a bit about working with Pablo, but I haven't heard you talk much about working with Tony. What have your conversations with him been like so far?
Really, really good. That was another very fortunate situation. I think it was, I would have to say it was lucky because I don't think anybody planned it out. But very fortunate that we were able to actually go to Phoenix, right, for 5 days. Because what happens when you go somewhere with other people is pretty soon you're having every meal together. You're having conversations in a car from the hotel to the field and from the field back to the car. You're getting to have all of these intrinsic conversations with each other that you wouldn't have if we're here in Harriman and just kind of doing our 9 to 5 working and then going home to families and those sorts of things. So put us in a really good situation to spend some time together, just get to have chats about a lot of different things. Kurt and I worked together for 2 years at Inter Miami, and so we have a pre-existing working relationship. which is a very good one. And then Tony and I obviously have a huge history together. So there's an ethical and social understanding that's already exists between us. And the working side so far has been great. And I have no doubts it will continue to be great because Tony's a fantastic, fantastic young man finding his way in the game.
And then last question from me, in regards to working with Pablo, you've mentioned working with him and getting the new assistant coaches. That was a decision in terms of getting rid of the assistant coaches that was confusing for a lot of the fans. Can you address that a little bit and what went into that decision, as well as what the plan is going forward with those assistant coaches?
Yeah, this is an area that I feel fortunate that I could do, right? Just to maybe clarify some things. I consider myself a pretty good communicator. And in this role as a non-coach, I think I'll be able to share probably more information with the media than I certainly was as a coach. Anybody that media side that worked with me as a coach would have said I was always tight-lipped, and I would have said, thank you. I was, because there's a competitive factor there. But what I would say is that first and foremost, that decision happened before I was brought on, but it has been explained very clearly to me. And I think that I can have no problem explaining it clearly. Pablo is a coach that all of us, including me, feel is a very good one. And we feel that Pablo has particular strengths that we really, really appreciate, respect, and want to get him to even push harder on those strengths. In order to do that, Pablo needs to be surrounded by the right assistant coaches. And even Pablo, in some of the chats that we've had, has at first, of course, he was very disappointed by the decision. But, you know, after spending some time and removing some of the emotion, he, in fact, agrees with. And that's, again, credit to the quality of a person that Pablo is. And we think that's an important factor in his being a quality head coach. So we have been very specific and structured in the qualities that we're looking at for assistant coaches to place around Pablo, to make the whole coaching staff better, but also to continue to develop Pablo as a coach and to allow him to really lean into his strengths.
Let's go to Jackson Payne with Deseret News.
Hey, Jason. I just wanted to ask, what about your experience at Real Salt Lake has set it apart from the other clubs that you've been a part of throughout your career? What about it is special to you? You mentioned Utah being home. Obviously, you've had some big moments here with the club. What about Real sets it apart from where else you've been?
Well, you know, spoke to it earlier. For me, it's first and foremost about community. It's about the fact that every time my wife and I would come back here over the years, and we usually come back about once a year, we would always leave and say, man, that really just kind of felt like home. And so there's that sort of intrinsic social aspect, community aspect, I think was first and foremost important for my wife and I. There's the part about the soccer part, of course. You know, we had so many successes here, and it was such a special time that you're always going to be drawn back to a place that feels like you were successful. You're always going to be drawn back to a place that you feel like I was appreciated and continued to be appreciated. And then from a more organizational point of view and career point of view, I would say that the alignment that we had at Real Salt Lake, I have not experienced anywhere else that I went. And I think was also a contributing factor to why perhaps it didn't go so well in a couple other places. Particularly from my perspective, career wise. And now I see an opportunity to come here and be a part of what I think can be a really, really good alignment. And when I say alignment, what I'm talking about is ownership to management to head coach of the first team, and then on down from there. But those three components, I think to be aligned is really, really critical for a soccer team, for any sports organization to be what I think is successful, not just successful one year. I'm talking about successful as a team, a club that can be competing for things year in and year out.
Mr. Moran, you are up, my friend. I think you're muted.
All right. Hey, Jason. Welcome Hi. Back.
Thank you.
When I hear your name, Jason, comes to my mind, experience. Because you have a lot of experience. You have been a lot of there in a lot of finals, very important finals, and you are been there. So congratulations. Welcome back. I don't want to miss the opportunity to say that. Welcome back. And probably I'm going to make you laugh with my question, but are you going to run with the players around the field before the home game?
You did make me laugh. Well done. And thanks for welcoming me. I appreciate that. The quick answer is no, no chance.
Because to me, that was a great chemistry idea, a way to be close to the players. So welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That was a great, great reference there, Nelson. Anybody else have any follow-ups for Jason? Amy, did you want to pop in and say hello?
Yeah, sorry, trying to unmute myself. yeah, welcome back, Jason. I would love to sit down and chat with you at some point, but just letting you get your bearings for a minute, and maybe after the holidays, Trey can help us connect.
Amy, that would be great. I look forward to it. No problem.
Mr. Vahar.
Yeah, Jason, I'm curious, how much are you or do you want to be involved in the general manager search that's going on right now? And what are you looking for as that decision is being made in the next general manager for this club?
Yeah, I could say first and foremost, I'm not exactly sure where that situation lies. But to be more specific and answer to your question, I would love to be a part of that search. And I think that it would be a really good idea that if the constituents that are here already are involved in that search, then what you're doing is you're setting the entire club up for, again, what I'm going to say again, alignment, right? So that person fits with us. And that person could work well with us, and that person represents somebody that can lead us and that we would want to, you know, follow essentially. And that piece I think is important. And I know, you know, through my interview process, it was said to me that we would like you to be a part of that. So I'm hopeful that continues to be the way that the club would like to move forward, but I'm also understanding that in the real world, in the real life, they may choose a different path, and that's fine too. Because ultimately what I told them as I was trying to get in the door is the same now that I'm in the door. It doesn't change. I want to be here to learn first and foremost, to help in any area that I can, and to just collaborate. That's all I ask is to be a part of the process.
And one other small thing that I thought of earlier was, you know, you've been in the sport for a long time at various levels. What is your impression of RSL's current ownership? And what do you think kind of sets Ryan and David apart from maybe some of the other front offices and ownerships that you have dealt with in the past?
Yeah, I actually met with it was six people in a 2-day period, and four people that I would say were the owners. And what I was immediately struck with was the intelligence level of all these people is just off the charts. And so the idea, the opportunity to surround myself with and to work with and to rub shoulders with incredibly intelligent people is super exciting. So that's the first major point that I want to make is I think these guys are incredible. The second point I would make is that the opportunity to be a part of Global Football Holdings, where they own all of these teams and all, you know, in the world, as well as the group that owns the basketball team and the football team and the hockey team and the baseball team I mean, think about just from somebody who's entering this sort of job, the all of these chances where you could learn from so many different people. It's extremely exciting. And find the final piece here, and probably what I would say is the absolute most important from my perspective, is that everybody that I interviewed reiterated something that I think is the most important, sort of probably the core philosophy of what I believe, is that ultimately this job is about people, and they place a tremendously high value in people. And so that was music to my ears, and the one that I'd like to leave you with.
Awesome. Thanks, Jason. Real quick, Joseph had one follow-up, and then we will say goodbye.
Yeah, thank you. So just as this last question, is there anything that you would like to tease out there for the fans or projects that you have coming up that you can let us know about, so the fans have, I guess, a little, maybe a tangible idea of what sort of things you're working on?
Yeah, I guess this would fall this would fall into the category of I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. So we're just now getting started with exactly sort of what those projects look like. Again, ownership and John Kimball have been really, really mindful of not placing too many things on my plate yet. You know, I'm already feeling like I'm drinking water out of the fire hose here. And so we've kind of put some of that stuff towards maybe more January. So I think I'd be really premature if I threw some ideas out there that we're just now starting to knock around. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. Thank you.
Okay. I will throw one thing out there that I've already said a couple other places. I'd like you guys to hear it too, because I want us to all start singing from the same hymnal here. We think, we believe truly in our hearts that we need to be a club that really, really relies on our fans. And I think there's so many clubs out there right now that are just doing so much just lip service about, oh, our fans are so important, this, that, or the other. And those are some of the clubs that are spending $50 or $60 million a year. We are going to be not that. We are going to be a club that really, really needs our fans and believe that our fans can provide us something that other places can't. And that what I'm saying in particular is we believe that our fans can help us win games at home. Okay, we really believe that. I always felt 100% that the atmosphere that was created in our stadium was so critical. And a big part of that as well is how we're going to view the first 15 minutes of our match. You know, I'm speaking with Pablo already about that. What we can do in the first 15 minutes is going to pay huge dividends in the last 30, in particular as it relates to altitude. And in order to do that correctly, guess what? We need the fans there to be a part of that. So big push for me. This one you guys can start disseminating. Please, fans, get there early so we can start off the game in the right way.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, everybody, for your time this morning. We appreciate you. Stay tuned. We got a lot of news coming down the pipe on both first and second team, Utah Royals, Academy, all that between now and Christmas. And certainly we'll come out hard in the first of the year. So happy holidays, everybody. Please contact me with any of your needs. And Jason, have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.